Tune into this episode of On.net, where we're going to learn about reducing bugs in your code with Coverlet. Welcome to another episode of On.net. Today we've got Tony, who's the lead maintainer of Coverlet, which is a code coverage tool for .NET Core. Thanks for coming on the show. How about you tell us a little about Coverlet?
Oh, thanks, Rich. So Coverlet is a cross-platform code coverage library for .NET Core. I remember creating it because I needed to use something, and at that time, there was no other option.
For code coverage?
Yeah, for cross-platform. There is for Windows, for .NET Core, but there is no, at that time, there was no cross-platform one.
Got it. So, and actually, how about you introduce yourself?
Okay. So my name is Tony. I am a .NET developer from Lagos, Nigeria. A Microsoft MVP. I'm actually here for the MVP Summit.
Yeah, so that's kind of why you're here right now.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So honestly, nothing that much interesting. Mm-hmm. I just really, really enjoy writing code and building stuff to solve my problems. And it so turns out that my problems are sometimes other people's problems. Yeah,
absolutely. So how about you tell us a little bit about code coverage as a concept, just to make sure everyone knows what that is all about and why it's valuable.
Okay, well, I mean, first there was unit testing.
Yes.
So, you got to test your code, see what breaks, what doesn't break. And then there came the need to figure out, okay, so I've got my tests, but just how much of my code do they test? So for example, you write a unit test, you have say five methods, you write a test that only makes three of those to be exercised. You don't necessarily have a very good 100% coverage because at that point, you do not know whether the two methods that are not being tested are gonna work well in production. So code coverage tools, I think they fall under software quality tools.
Yeah.
So I think that's the problem they help solve, to let you know that, hey, you know what? You've got 100 methods. Your tests only exercise 80 of them.
Yeah, and so there's, in terms of coverage, there's, let's use your numbers, like there's 80 methods, but say within those methods, there's a whole bunch of if statements. So you've got branching inside there. So with your code coverage tool, does it just validate? trying to not use the word test too many times. Okay. Does it just validate that your tests cover those 80 different methods? Or does it actually look at basic blocks inside those to say inside this one method, there's five if statements.
Yeah.
And with the test, it only covered like one side. One branch out of each one of those. Does code coverage help with that level of detail?
Yeah, and it will all depend on the tool. Some tools even go further to test each condition within an if statement. So what Coverlet does, it does three. It does line or statement, it does method, and it does branch coverage. So at every point in time, it tells you what lines in your code are running or being exercised or not exercised. It tells you what percentage of methods are being exercised, and then it also tells you all the branches in your code, how many of them are being exercised. It doesn't go deep yet to talk about each condition in a branch, but I'm hoping at some point I'll be able to add support for that.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned this thing about 100% coverage. Now, Is that the number that you kind of guide? Like, people must ask you for guidance and say is 100% what I need to hit, or is some number lower than that acceptable? So for example, I'd be willing to state that for .NET Core itself, we don't hit 100% just because the product is
even
enormous.
Even Coverlet itself doesn't hit 100%.
Okay.
I mean, it's 87% right now.
Okay, let's look at that, 87%. Yeah. Do you feel like you've built a high-quality product with, 100% of tests passing at 87% coverage, is that success?
Well, I think I don't know if there's a standard threshold. Yeah.
But you sleep well at night?
I sleep well at night knowing that it's over 80, but that's a personal thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And based on like personal experience, I tend to work in companies where we try to achieve at least 80%.
Yeah, so 80 is kind of that magic number to hit.
Pretty much, based on no research on my part.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the ways I think about testing in general mm-hmm. is obviously if as a vendor of software, you know, either a Microsoft or you know, you have to do due diligence to say like, I believe this is quality software. But user feedback does play in at some point. Yeah, so, you know, essentially then the issues that you get on this repository are filling in the remaining 13% to some degree.
Yeah, to some degree.
And that to me seems completely rational and reasonable.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it gets increasingly more expensive to fill in the rest of that 13%.
Yep, I can.
The first 10% and the last 10% are not equal in terms of cost.
Yep. Because then you realize that there's some, depending on how your code is structured, depending on what the product does, there's some things that are kind of hard to exercise when you're dealing with like pure unit testing. And then you have to start thinking about integration testing. And then, you know, that's a whole different ballgame entirely.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of striving for 95%, but I sleep well at night.
Yeah. You know, the other option is you could just remove functionality. Okay, that's not one of the options.
I just delete code, right?
Delete
all the code that isn't covered. And boom,
call it good. Yeah, awesome. Mm. It's funny. Like, it sounds like that would be an easy strategy, but that probably wouldn't actually be easy either.
Yeah.
And obviously, you'd make your product worse. Okay, well, how about you show us a demo of Coverlet running? And also explain how you acquire it as a developer.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Sure, definitely. I'm actually going to start from the basics. So I have an existing project.
Okay.
I didn't, at the time when I wrote this code, this is actually another of my open source libraries. At the time when I wrote this, I hadn't built Coverlet, so it's not designed in any way to give me good coverage results or whatever.
Right.
So it's just a random project. And there are actually two options or two ways to use Coverlet. So I'm going to do my best to highlight both ways real quick. One of the things that I was thinking that was topmost in my mind was user experience. I wanted to make it as easy as possible.
Right.
So meaning, to get to do the barest minimum, should not have to tweak so many options. So anyway, we have the MS build one, which is actually the most popular. It's got like 1.76 million downloads, which is kind of good.
Yeah, it's a nice number.
Yeah, and it's just about, Coverlet is just about a year old.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to increase this a bit.
Yeah, I mean, one of the ways I think about my work is, you know, there's just these completely random people somewhere on the planet, they're just trying to get their job done. And with the work that I do, either making a feature better or writing documentation, then it's easier for them to do that and then leave working and spend some time with their family instead because they finished the job.
True.
And you're clearly helping to do that too.
I'm happy to.
Yeah.
So this is my test project. As you can see, I'm in the stuff. So, I mean, you run a regular .NET test, you know, does the whole VS test stuff, no big deal.
Right. So right now we're doing unit testing.
Yeah, it's just regular unit testing. Okay. I'm using XUnit. And then you add Coverlet.
And it looks like everything passed. So that's good for the demo.
Good for the demo. So you have a Coverlet. You add the coverlet.msbuild package. And so with that, you could come over here to confirm. It's been added. I think the SDK immediately realized that it's a development dependency. So it already set up stuff for you so it doesn't get included in
the release. That's the private assets thing.
Yeah. And basically it's the same as before, except now you add an extra property.
Okay, that's an MS buildism we just saw there, right?
Pretty much. So this adds, because basically .NET test is kind of a wrapper around MS Build.
Yeah.
So you basically just forward any extra properties you specify.
Yeah, many .NET CLI commands are wrappers around MS Build.
Pretty much. And then this is it. So you just set collect coverage to true. It builds, executes your tests, and then prints out a pretty table.
Okay, so that was Coverlet that did that.
Yeah, that was Coverlet.
And now, so the slash p collect coverage equals true. So yeah. is that a Coverlet specific command?
It's a Coverlet specific command.
Okay.
It's a Coverlet specific command, and you can go here.
So there's a task in your implementation.
Pretty much.
That has that name. Yeah.
Yeah. Then this is Coverlet's own specific code coverage format.
Right, and this is about the result.
Yeah, this is the result.
Yeah.
So this is the result. So this is like a pretty summary, so you can just have all the information you want real quick. So you can see that I've got two assemblies. So you have the read line, which is the main assembly, and then you have the tests assembly itself, because some people also want to know how much of their tests actually run.
Oh.
Yeah, because sometimes you could have unit tests, and not every path in your unit tests, in your unit test code actually runs.
Okay, I had actually never thought about that before.
Yeah, it was something I had never thought about. What happened was, so the WinForms team here at Microsoft apparently needed it and they contributed it back to Coverlet. So this feature of also checking the test assembly itself.
Oh, really? They contributed that?
Yes.
That's super cool.
I've actually had a bunch of contributions from like Microsoft folks. So for example, Coverlet runs the Linux build for CoreFX. And to get that working, there was a whole bunch of tweaks I had to make. And then they were also very helpful in contributing that back, including things like multi-threading support and all that stuff. So
yeah, so normally, or often it's the case that the open source engagement from Microsoft is, you know, third-party developers like yourself.
Yeah.
Like community developers, that's a better word. sorry, Microsoft lingo. coming to our repositories and saying, you know, I want to make this change, blah, blah, blah. This is like the opposite case.
Honestly, I've had like at least five Microsoft devs working on Coverlet, trying to make it fit their use cases.
Yeah. And so that sounds like that engagement was pretty positive.
Oh yeah, it did things like improve performance like a lot.
Yeah.
Because that was not something I thought about so much when I originally built it. And considering the size of like the CoreFX repo and all the assemblies, all the performance deficiencies actually started to show when they were trying to use it.
Yeah. So what's it feel like getting like such a huge adopter of your component? I mean, that's fairly massive, right?
Yeah, it was a very good feeling, and it's also even like linked to from the docs.microsoft.com when they're on the section about code coverage. So they talk about if you want code coverage on Linux and you're not using VS Visual Studio and stuff, you can use Coverlet. So that's another
Wow, awesome. Feather in your cap.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so this, let's just take a quick look at this. So you're basically saying that 80% of the lines, let's just talk about the readline project for a moment. 80% of the lines are covered, 77% of the branches, which is basically that if statement type thing I was talking about, and about 70% of the methods.
Yep.
So if you're looking at this, how do you reason about this? I guess a first question is when you reported code coverage on your web page, it was a single number.
Okay.
So do you just average those together in some way to get that what was the number again? 80% or something?
Yeah, like it was it is 7, I believe.
Okay. That's right. This isn't the same project.
Yeah, this isn't the same project.
Yeah. So how do you get the single number out of that information?
Funny you asked that. I can't actually remember. I think I do an average though. Yeah, I do an average of the line, the branch, and the method,
okay,
and then push that to the service that displays my badge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Makes sense. And then what's the second thing? Is the total the second box?
Yeah. So the second box is kind of, so the first box looks at individual assemblies.
I see.
The second box just takes everything as a single blob.
I see. So this would probably make it be easier to reason about if there were like 10 assemblies.
Yes, basically.
Yeah. So if there was one assembly, then the numbers would be the same between
Pretty
the first
much.
Box and the second box.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I can also, I mean, so there's also a part of coverlet that allows you to exclude assemblies.
Okay, so we could exclude readline.test.
Yeah, let's exclude the readline.test. This is a format. You can check the document for the format that we use because it's a special. So this means this assembly, and then this star means all the types
in
the assembly. So you can actually, through this, specify the types you want to exclude if you don't want to exclude the entire assembly.
Understood.
So what this would do is basically just run the tests so you can see everything is like all the same.
Okay. Makes total sense now.
Yeah.
Awesome. So do you know, obviously this whole project is oriented on quality.
Yeah.
Have you had feedback to say, you know, I use coverlet, I found that my coverage is way lower than I expected, and as a result, you know, I invested time to build more tests and I found all these bugs. Have you had any testimonials like that?
Well, Scott Hanselman.
Oh, yeah?
He's a blog. He ran coverlet on it and had a 3% code coverage. Or was it 13? I forget. But yeah, it was pretty small. I was like, Scott. And he was like, oh, I know, I'll fix it. He was funny.
Okay, did he report that he found bugs through fixing that? Or?
Well, he didn't, he's probably too scared. Maybe he hasn't even been able to update it. So.
Okay.
But
you should get a testimonial from Scott that you can put on your website.
Look, you know what? That's probably not a bad idea.
Yeah, I'll make him do that. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. Let's transition the conversation a little bit.
Okay.
Because I think we've kind of done a good job of showing the value here. So you're here for the MVP Summit,
yep.
Which is great. It's been a fun week. But I saw some news just like, 2 weeks ago that Microsoft is opening an office in Nigeria, I think it was.
Yes, yep. I think they're calling it an African Development Center.
Okay.
So
that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing because it's, you know, most times companies like Microsoft, Google, Oracle, their offices in Africa and, you know, so Nigeria, South Africa, all the different countries. Their offices are majorly geared towards sales and marketing.
Yeah.
So very little actual product development goes on there. So this is a first. And I'm particularly happy because, as an MVP, I've always been trying to build like the community back home and everything. And I was always concerned that Google and Facebook had a much better hold on getting the community excited, and you know, Microsoft was basically flailing.
Okay.
So this announcement is kind of like just a wake up call for a lot of people back home that Microsoft is actually still there around, and they are actually really serious.
Yeah.
And it seems like more of a serious investment than just meetups and conferences.
Just giving people t-shirts.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm super happy and makes
yeah.
Me
so yeah, we have this term throwing the hammer down. So it's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I can imagine there must be some people back in your community that are just a little bit mind blown. So do you know of people that are getting their resumes ready to submit?
Ready? A lot of them have already submitted.
Okay.
I mean, the day of the announcement, I know a couple of people were like, "Yeah, man, let's go." So it's exciting. Everyone's like super excited because this is a big thing. It's a really big thing.
I mean, obviously the hope would be that, you know, the first, you know, one or two teams that have operations, you know, developer teams in Nigeria, that it's super successful. And then a bunch of other teams here in Redmond say, well, I want in on that action.
Yep.
Look at the talent that we were able to get in Nigeria. And I want some of that too.
Agreed. And then after a while, other companies as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I know when I first moved to Seattle in 2000, I would like read the tech press that was mostly focused on Silicon Valley.
Okay.
And they would never talk about Seattle at all. And I'd be like, you know, I'm working for Microsoft. It actually turns out it's a pretty important and large software company, but literally no one would talk about it. And then starting in about 2010 and a little bit later, you know, there's like so much going on here for cloud with Amazon and Microsoft. And, mm-hmm. it really almost feels like the tide's turning between the two areas, San Francisco and Seattle.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like what you're describing here, which is if you really get a couple big anchor tenants there, then it just really just pulls so much into that space and can be so positive. Yeah. So I hope that happens.
I hope it does too. Well, it means we have a lot of work to do to ensure, you know, the team moving there is totally happy with the talent that they receive.
Yeah.
So
maybe we'll get you wearing a blue badge at some point.
Oh, that's probably in the long-term plan.
That'd be awesome. Okay, well, thanks. Is there anything you want to say in closing?
Can I just quickly demo the other way?
Oh, sure, sorry. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, great. So I'm just going to go ahead and...
cut you off in the middle of your demo.
Oh, no, it's okay. I just want to make sure that everyone is aware, because... most people's experiences with code coverage tools are generally as CLI tools and not something included in the build system.
Yes,
so,
totally get it.
Yeah, so Coverlet also has the .NET Core Global tool, which is, so it allows you to, you know, have that same, it seems already.
I believe that.
I already have it. Suddenly, I can't type anymore. Oh, there we go. I was typing the wrong command. All right, so this has a little bit of ceremony to it.
Okay.
Yeah, which is why most people actually go for the MS Build one, because that's like super straightforward.
Okay.
So this initially, you have to first of all take a path to the test assembly rather. I'm selecting.
Oh.
Yeah, because...
I'm starting to get a picture in my head.
Yeah, because Coverlet runs... Well, how it works is it instruments the dependencies of the test assembly. It instruments the intermediate language. So it needs to know what it has to instrument. When it's integrated into the build system, it can ask... It can get all that information from the build system. But when you're running it as a CLI tool, you kind of have to... supply that information yourself.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it turns out MS Build is actually useful.
Yeah. It's useful. So this is, I'm going to just reduce it so it's not too long, and I'm just going to use a relative.
Right.
Okay. And then, so you specify the test assembly. Just show them the documentation, right? And then you specify, so you have a target method where you specify the command that actually runs your tests. So your test runner in this case. So I'm going to use .NET test, but I've had people use like the regular XUnit test runner and all that.
And that's totally fine.
And that's totally fine. Any test runner, both things, ones that are public and ones that are used internally. Coverlet basically works with any test unit framework, any test runner, you know, because of how it works. So so now we specify, I think we have to specify like the arguments for .NET. So we do tests. We specify that we want it here because, you know, this is we're currently in the test directory. And then something extra, you have to specify no build. The reason you do this is when you run .NET test, .NET first of all builds the test assembly and then runs the tests on it. But because Coverlet instruments the assembly before running what you specify in target.
Right, everything will get overridden. Yeah, which would not be good.
Yeah, so you want to do this. So what happens is basically the same thing that happens in the regular one. So yeah, it's a little bit of setup. I am trying my best to see how I can reduce that by doing a whole bunch of, you know, having a bunch of defaults that can be overridden. But, you know, lots of edge cases in that because people have different build system setups and stuff. So,
yeah. I get it.
Yeah, so it's something we're still exploring.
Yeah, this looks great. Did you ever think about integrating with something like .NET Watch?
Well,
because there's .NET Watch Test.
Oh, really?
Something to think about.
But .NET Watch Test, does that not also use the .NET tests under the hood?
Oh, yeah. So you could just do .NET Watch Test /P://
Pretty much.
Collect coverage. Yeah, that would all work.
And even better, if you do not want to have to specify extra stuff, if you're using the MS Build package, you can just do the collect coverage directly
in your
MS Build and
Okay, that would probably work with .NET Watch Test.
Yeah, if you're using the MS Build.
Yeah, in some scenarios, I have done that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. So.
So let's remind people where to go for this.
Oh yeah, it's my GitHub handle is Tornado. It's kind of like Tornado but with an E.
Yeah.
Lots of history to that name, but I'm not gonna get into it. And then Coverlet, simple, straightforward. Name.
Right. It's free, open source, anyone can use it.
And the good thing is, even though I built it specifically for .NET Core, you have people having success using it with the regular .NET framework as well.
Awesome. I'm sure people will love that. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Tony, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I'm sure tons of people who don't know about this yet will start using it now.
Yes, please. Yeah. File issues.
Yeah.
Let's make it
better. And software quality is an amazing thing.
Yeah. I'm happy I could, make that contribution.
Okay, awesome. Okay, this has been another episode of the On.NET Show, and we learned about code coverage with Coverlet from Tony. Awesome, thanks.